It's time for three stories you should know. Last week, Colin Kaepernick reached a settlement with the NFL in his collusion case, and that's where we'll start this week. I'm joined by the Boston Globe's Nora Princiati and by Professor Kenneth Shropshire, CEO of Arizona State University's Global Sport Institute. Welcome back to both of you.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Karen.
Nora, you're up first.
So yeah, I wanted to talk about Colin Kaepernick, which has obviously been the topic of much discussion since he settled his lawsuit against the NFL and its owners for allegedly colluding to keep him out of the league. I would argue that if you had to pick a side, I would say that Kaepernick won because, one, it's just so incredibly hard for a player to win in the legal system. But I think that there's a sort of muddling of his collusion case and the social justice causes, mostly related to police brutality against minorities, that led him to protest by kneeling during the national anthem in the first place. So one thing that I'm sort of foreseeing is that when he continues to support those causes, I'm foreseeing a lot of noise about, well, you got all this money, aren't you done? Shouldn't you just be quiet now? When I think that the answer is, of course, no. I mean, Colin Kaepernick's done something that is incredibly hard to do, which is to start a national conversation. So I don't see him just going away.
I think he wins if he does speak out going forward. I think the most difficult part of what Kaepernick's been doing over the past many months is not speaking, is not delivering his message directly on a regular basis. So if he does the book, if he does address issues of social justice in a way that he hasn't during this period of time, then he's a real winner. I think, you know, monetarily, you just don't know. I'm a lawyer in real life, and these settlements, especially when they're not disclosed. I mean, what it really means is both sides got a lot of information about each other, and there's still mysterious information that neither side knows. So never mind. We'd rather settle at this number and walk away. For the NFL, the big plus for them, it's tardy, but it is the idea that they have closed a chapter, that they can move on. And Commissioner Roger Goodell has not been fantastic at this. I mean, think back to the Ray Rice moment where it was closed and then he let it open back up again.
Right. The NFL does now get to just completely ignore this situation. But I think that Colin Kaepernick still doesn't have a job. And I don't believe the people who say now he has a better chance of getting a job and he can't talk about what he won from the NFL. It might mean that he can be less quiet about his protest and why he did it. But still, the NFL is just going to get to say that this chapter is over. Where I think, Nora, you make a good point that the activism certainly isn't over.
Right. I mean, I would guess that he is a professional activist now.
I'll say this. The saddest thing is to not play. This man, as any athlete, has trained all this time to not have the opportunity to play. I don't know what number you can pay to make up for that. And, you know, as you age as an athlete, the opportunity to regain that time is gone. It's kind of, you know, Ali-esque in a sense that those years are gone. It would be wonderful in many ways if he did find the opportunity to play again, but I too am doubtful that there'll be at least an immediate opening for that.
Ken, it's your turn.
So mine is Zion Williamson. We saw him get injured in the game Duke versus North Carolina. A couple things happened. I mean, first, we were allowed once again to beat the dead horse of amateurism. We were allowed once again to say, you know, the only reason that he's in this position is because of the rules that are in place, because of the collective bargaining agreement with the NBA and the Players Association. Well, what do people think should be done in this moment? If the injury allows him to, should Williamson play any more this season, or should he just make sure no further injury occurs and that he has his professional opportunity?
I think practically speaking, no, he shouldn't play.
You're not a Duke fan, clearly. Look at you.
I'm not a Duke hater, though. I would say if he really wants to, like if it means a lot to him, then go for it. I mean, we just sort of went through this a little bit with Kyler Murray deciding between the NFL and MLB. and kind of, you know, you run all the analyses and do the math and figure out the dollar amounts. And then you also just kind of have to say, well, what does he want?
Right.
Like, what does he want to do? So the fact that these guys can't profit off endorsements and off their likeness being used, that to me is my biggest issue with it. And semi-conversely, if he feels like having the stage of, you know, the remainder of the college basketball season, the NCAA tournament would be valuable to him, or that it could harm his personal brand to stay out of it, I would understand that as a reason for playing. And like I said, I would understand just really wanting to do it being another reason for playing. But no, I think if I were advising him, I would say, just wait.
It's also interesting, people are bringing up the fact that in the lead up to this very game, someone asked Zion what he feels about the sort of one and done system. And this is his quote: "I always knew I would go to college. Even if they would have had the NBA road, I still would have come to college. You're never going to get this experience again." And I think that's great, right? Like, he wanted to go to college, but I think we can't forget that he actually didn't really have a choice. And the NBA is now looking at giving players a choice. And I think that that's really important, because I think we'd be having an entirely different conversation if we knew for sure that he was at Duke instead of the NBA because he was allowed to make that decision.
We've heard LeBron a few times saying, you know, he kind of wished he had a college moment. But it is something to think about. And if part of your goal is to get paid, maybe you should take advantage of that sooner rather than later.
I've had enough of these actually important topics. Let's get to something fun.
Yay.
What could be better than watching your NHL team win a home game? I've got it. Watching all the players come out on the ice, stand in a W formation, and fall down like dominoes. Or play duck, duck, goose, or...
Oh my God, it's a limbo. I feel like I'm in Honolulu.
This is what's been happening with when the Carolina Hurricanes win home games, and it has been glorious. So what's the problem here? Well, here's NHL commentator Don Cherry.
These guys, to me, are jerks. You have to do this in the National. They're still not drawn. This is to me, and I'll tell you one thing, they better not do this in the playoffs.
He's so upset he can't even finish a sentence.
I think that's kind of par for the course. But.
And by the way, Don Cherry was wearing a bright blue suit jacket with neon yellow dragons all over it while he was trying to be the arbiter of taste in the NHL. I mean, the Hurricanes responded to Don Cherry by selling Bunch of Jerks t-shirts. And I have to say, I love all of this.
Yeah, it's really fun because it just has this sort of goofiness.
Right.
It's like you're all on skates. I mean, for a team in the South, that relevancy is kind of a big deal when you're playing in that environment and trying to keep up a fan base. It's like the best thing that could happen to them, right? Like,
right.
You're known for being the cool team that does these fun things, and you kind of have a heel with this, like, dude up in Canada wearing God knows what. I love it. I'm really into it.
Ken, where do you fall on this?
Yeah, don't let the NHL become the version that the NFL was, the no fun league kind of moment where you're pushing back against this kind of thing. Although, by the way, I think the NFL players have gotten too orchestrated, and these Hurricane guys have kind of picked up at the orchestration level. We've got the whole icecapades kind of orchestration going on. Although I will say, I have been paying attention to this. I mean, it sort of has drawn in,
right,
you know, this L.A. kid to say, what's going on here? So I think it's a good thing for the sport.
One of Don Cherry's things was they're making fun of their opponents. And I'm like, no, their opponents are in the locker room. Like, this is not one of those in-your-face things.
Also,
this
their
is...
opponents lost. Sorry. Bye.
Nora is so much more cutthroat than me.
Well, also, this is a sport that for decades glorified dudes hitting each other in the face.
Yeah.
And now we're getting all up in arms about a limbo contest? Seems a little backwards to me.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been the Boston Globe's Nora Princiati. Thank you, Nora.
Absolutely. Go Hurricanes.
And Professor Kenneth Shropshire, CEO of Arizona State University's Global Sport Institute. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
You're listening to Only a Game from NPR.